Welcome back to the stage, right side. I just got back from rehearsal at ABT Studios. We were working on Winter's Tale and Othello by Lara Lubavitch. And I'm excited. I just put some rice in the rice cooker. I made like the biggest pot of my mom's chili ever, like a really heaping pot. And I'm going to be eating that for the next, I don't know, like week and a half probably. When I make like a big batch of food that I'm going to just eat for every meal for the next week, I like to call it bachelor chow, because there's something like very practical and cost effective about having the same dinner every night for a week. But I like it. I really enjoy it. It takes a lot of the, what do I eat for dinner tonight? And I don't have to spend $50 on Uber Eats or like Grubhub or whatever. So we're just out here being practical. I'm a practical gentleman. Get into it. My body is feeling so much better. My back was really out like the first 2 weeks of rehearsal process, but I'm feeling a lot better. And I'm looking forward to, you know, some of the shows we got coming up. What else is going on? I've really enjoyed, like, I mean, I'm shocked. I've gotten like a really nice response to the Substack that I started. People have been really complimentary and lovely about it, and I am really enjoying doing it. So I just wanted to shout that out and say thank you to all of you who have subscribed to it. And I don't know, just I like having the freedom to make whatever I want. In other news, I don't know if I told all y'all that I was working on a new book, and I had a call yesterday with my literary agent who worked with me on my first book, and you know, this is a very different endeavor. My first book was a collection of essays, sort of autobiographical, but also kind of like weird and silly. And this next book that I'm working on is fiction. So I'm working on like teen fiction. And I had a call with her because I sent her what I've got so far by way of manuscript. And I don't know, it was kind of a tough meeting because she was not, I feel like she didn't understand what I was going for, or I don't know if that's true. I feel like she was saying to me that if I want people to actually read this, like if I want actual teenagers in the world to read it, it's going to have to be a more modern approach. She referenced things like Red, White, and Royal Blue and Heated Rivalry, which are wildly popular, like huge smash sensations. In the sort of like young adult romance genre. And my issue is I didn't like Red, White, and Royal Blue. I have not read Heated Rivalry, but my friends have told me what the books are like, and that doesn't really appeal to me as a reader. I'm an adult, so it's confusing when I'm like trying to write for young adults, but I don't actually... maybe I just don't like young adult books. And what I have envisioned for this book, I don't really want to talk about the content yet, but what I've envisioned or what I've emulated is a really classic young novel style. And by classic, I mean I'm heavily inspired by the Narnia series by Lewis Carroll, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and even to some extent, Harry Potter, I suppose. It's very like old British, though, the style I've written it in. It you know, my voice is in there, but it's kind of an old-timey feel. And, you know, I totally understand her point of view about saying, you know, like, you're going to get TikTok teens to read this old-timey novel. And she's absolutely right. She knows 1 million times more than I do in this. This is her job, is to sell books. But unfortunately, it frustrates me because that's completely not what I want to do. And And now I have to reckon with, do I adapt what I have written to better, to be more sellable and like reach an audience, like today's audience, basically. So that's what I have to think about. And I find it very frustrating because I have really enjoyed doing a modern emulation of a classic British fantasy novel. You know, like my favorites when I was a kid were, you know, Narnia, like any Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, like the sci-fi fantasy genre for, you know, that, like the old classics are what have inspired me. So I have to really think about what I'm at a crossroads, one might say, with this, where I'm like, okay, shit, do I start over and make it modern and sellable? Because the novel isn't even set in modern day, and she was recommending that I set it in modern day. So I have a lot of thinking to do, but that said, you know, stay tuned. But I also published this week an essay called "Your Son is Probably Gay," and it's sort of popped off a little bit for me, which has been really cool to watch and see my subscribership grow. And I thought I would read it to you. And I loved writing this one. I thought it was really silly and interesting to me as a gay person to write. All right, here we go. "Your Son is Probably Gay," an essay. Okay, so you're reading this because your 9-year-old son has learned the entire dance from Zara Larsson's Midnight Sun music video. You're wondering, yeah, this is the standard for kids, right? They tap into the culture. Totally normal. Now, when am I going to meet his girlfriend? Oh, sweetie, no, you're not. I'm here to share my own experiences as a little gay boy in hopes that you might better prepare yourself for that most horrifying of all realities, your son is gay. Think of it as doomsday prep for suburban normals. I discovered I liked boys when I was about 6 years old, when my older brother's best friend, Justin, came with my family to my Uncle Warren's farm in rural Connecticut. I remember lying on the carpet, hoping Justin would walk over me with his wide leg boxers. In the mornings, I'd drop down onto the floor of literally any room, hoping for a glimpse of some up short something something. Have you ever seen the M. Night Shyamalan movie Signs? Think of your son's gayness as the alien lurking in the background of the frame, just out of sight of the film's protagonists. They know something's there, but they can't see it, or won't. It's time for you to turn around and face the alien. I was wildly popular in elementary school. The kids knew I was an arbiter of taste. I was charismatic, confident, and cute as a button. I had girlfriends up the wazoo, always the prettiest little divas in the school. Me and my girlfriend du jour, they rarely lasted more than a week or two, would rule recess from the jungle gym. We'd perform daring feats like backflips off the monkey bars, garnering respect and admiration. No one cared that I wasn't playing dodgeball in the field or handball in the on the asphalt. It wasn't weird. Yet. Then came the gay kid reckoning. Middle school. That's when the other kids figure out you're different. Lighten your loafers, sensitive, artistic, a fairy, a pansy, a fop. Oh, horror of horrors. The shift in my schoolmates' behavior toward me was extreme. I recall thinking to myself, am I unpunked? I was bullied relentlessly. I was called faggot daily. And in the 90s, the word gay was used to describe something bad or uncool. Even my own mother would say to me, is this blouse gay? Around that same time, I discovered Judy Garland. How does a 12-year-old boy in suburban Connecticut discover Judy Garland, you ask? Well, the same way many people do. The Wizard of Oz. I believe my father taped the film off a television broadcast onto VHS, which he often did in lieu of buying or renting. My friend Ricky, we went to the same dance studio, and I must have watched it 100 times. There was something about Judy that reached out to me across the vast gay void of time and space. When she sang "Somewhere Over the Rainbow," I felt it in my 12-year-old gut. Her empathy, her tragedy, maybe both. On weekends, Ricky and I would draw the curtains and shut the blinds in my childhood bedroom. We'd light a candle and hold a lemon wedge over the flame, chanting in unison, "Judy, are you with us?" We'd squeeze a drop of lemon over the candle, and if the flame was snuffed out, we'd run through the house like maniacs, screaming, "She's here!" And my mother was still surprised when I came out. Who's the crazy one? Definitely not me. My bedroom at my mother's house was an incredible monument to 90s adolescent bedroom aesthetics. I wish I had a photo, but I'll try to paint a picture. I had a full bed with a fuzzy Scooby-Doo bedspread and L.L. Bean flannel sheets. I was obsessed with the cartoons of Hanna-Barbera and was a bit of a nerd when it came to my favorite eras of animation. Chuck Jones was a favorite, with Tex Avery a close second. My walls were covered in posters, music, Broadway, shows from my dance studio, Fiona Apple, Tori Amos, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and the original Broadway cast of Rent. On my dresser sat a tape deck and a 5-disc CD changer. I recorded pop songs off Z100 and played them constantly. The first CD I ever bought with money I earned from working at my first dance studio was Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. The second was Toni Braxton's Secrets, which I wore out and still listen to this day. Do you know what wasn't on my walls? Football or basketball posters. Bands like Green Day or Nirvana. You know what didn't line my shelves? Baseball trophies or G.I. Joes. Looking at me at 16 and not realizing I was gay was like pointing to a rhinoceros and saying, "Look, a puppy." I'm going to speak directly to the mothers now. I want you all to look long and hard back on your time with your little boy. How did or do you spend your time together? Once again, I will share my own experiences with my mother, which were beautiful and sacred. I remember taking what Nancy called mental health days, during which we'd both call out of school or work, respectively, and cook or watch movies together. We'd make some fabulous 1950s dish her mother taught her how to make, and then watch Star Wars. She'd say, "People tell me I look like Princess Leia." And she was right. She really did look like Carrie Fisher. We'd giggle as she taught me Cat's Cradle. She'd take me to Barnes & Noble in town, and we'd spend hours browsing the books and sharing what we'd discovered. We'd go to the perfume counter at the G. Fox department store and smell fragrances till our heads hurt. She'd take me to Nine West and ask which heels look best on her. I almost always chose the simple black pumps, but always high. She'd ask me things like, "Do you think I'm pretty?" And I'd reply with annoyance, "Mom," rolling my eyes. I wish I'd just said, "Of course, Mom, you're beautiful." A gay son's relationship with his mother is sacred and unique. And if there's anything to glean from this silly little essay, it's this. Open your eyes. Lean in and enjoy it. It's fun and funny and has more heart than a Joni Mitchell song. What I learned from writing this is simply that I miss my mom. Go hug your gay little kid. And then it ends, and there's a photo of me and my mom and my older brother on Easter, and she's wearing a Miami Vice sweatshirt, and she's got a perm because it's the 80s, and we were making an Easter bunny cake that we made every year together, and it was in the shape of a bunny rabbit, and we would draw a little face on it with icing. It's so much fun. Yeah, so I loved writing that and remembering, my experience with my family when I was coming out. And I don't know, I guess I just wanted to write something to parents in a weird way, asking them to acknowledge the elephant in the room, the big gay elephant in the room, that if they think their kid might be gay, you're probably right. There's this amazing video on YouTube that sort of captures a mother's journey when they find out that their kid is gay. And I'm just going to play it for you. It's written by and starring John Roberts. And it's called "My Son is Gay" with a question mark. So if you want to look it up yourself, the visual is fantastic. But I'm going to play you the audio. Enjoy.
My son is gay?
My son's gay.
My son is gay. My son is gay. My son is gay. My son is gay. God! Gay! Gay? Gay? Gay! He moved into the city and now he's gay. Gay. Why?
He's always with me. What's going on?
Oh, my son is gay. Gay. My son is gay. Told me he's gay. You're gay, you're gay. He's here. He's gay. Get used to it. My son is gay. Hey, my son's gay. Watch it. Who's hungry? You hungry?
There you have it, folks. I think it's so silly and it makes sense to me. They did a good job. And if you recognize that voice, John Roberts is the voice of Linda on Bob's Burgers, and it's pretty much the same character as he did in this YouTube series. I think it was in 2007. So these videos have been around, but they're really great. There are other ones. There's one about Mother's Day. It's really sweet. I also want to read some DMs that I got after publishing this. They're really incredibly sweet, and I don't know, just make me feel really good, I guess. Okay, this one's from Michael. Your essay was so beautiful. It had me giggling and tearing up. I too listened to Toni Braxton's Secrets on the daily in the mid-90s. Like, who was unbreaking my heart in fifth grade? The relationship a gay son and their mom has is special and sacred. My mom and I would also take mental health days and go to lunch and some shopping. We decided randomly one day after school to take off the next day, take a bus from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and come into the city, pre-cell phones and apps, to stand in line at the TKTS booth to get a last-minute deal on a show. These are memories I'll cherish forever and always wish I had one more day with my mom to make a simple day more exciting. Tears, weeping. So sweet. This one's from Michelle. Thank you for this essay. My son is 12 and is the light of my life and my best friend. I've known he probably is or might be gay since he was around 4. What I know for sure is that if he ever does come out, which he thinks is ridiculous, as straight people don't have to announce anything, lol, I know if and when he wants to talk through things, I will likely be the first person he chats about it with. I know being 12 in 2026 is in many ways easier for him being who he is. I'm so grateful he found dance and the dance community so he could step into his most authentic self. He will probably read this on his own as he obviously follows you. Much love to you. Just so, so sweet. Oh my gosh. I don't know. It just makes me feel good. So thank you all for supporting, I guess, and being cool. I don't really have anything else to say to you this fine, fine day. I hope everybody's having a good week and that you have the fiercest weekend ever. I really enjoyed the snow last weekend, and I'm going to go eat some chili, my mom's chili, which is on the topic of mothers. So mothers, go hug your gay kid or your straight kid or your trans kid or your non-binary kid, whatever. Just go tell them you love them. All right. Everybody have a nice day. Mwah. Bye. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!